College football nerds here talking Alabama and Arkansas, as usual, as we always do. We're giving you homework. Let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be. And we do a live show every week. Yo, you Bama fans know it. Arkansas fans may not. It's about 2 hours long. We talk about the game action while it's going on Saturday nights. Link for that is in the description. You can catch the replay on our podcast or on our channel. Okay, Josh. We saw Alabama put up a number against some directional G5 school Saturday. It wasn't a big deal. Arkansas coming off, got some momentum, coming off a win against LSU, an overtime win. I have this thought about what we're going to see from Alabama, or what we need to see from Alabama in this Arkansas game. Alabama fans are actually, I think, really interested in this game in a way that they maybe haven't been in the past. One, because of the quality of Arkansas, and two, because of it being kind of a show-me game. Last year, Odom did a really good job of identifying that zone coverage against Miss State is what they needed to do to kind of shut them down, and they did. And I wonder if he's seen now that all-out blitz, zero blitzes against Bryce Young might be the way to shut him down too. Is this a game for Alabama that either they need to show that, okay, in-game adjustments were tough, but we figured out how to beat this thing that we couldn't beat against LSU, and they can maybe create some forward momentum for the postseason, thinking that they're playoff-level offense, versus if they can't, and if Odom does turn up the heat and they struggle again to put up some decent points, there might be some real warning signs for this Alabama offense.
It's been interesting watching Alabama's offense sort of ebb and flow throughout the year. And to me, there have been two sort of defining characteristics. One is the offensive line play, which every Alabama fan is going to gripe about or love one way or the other. The other thing has been, I think, Bryce Young's confidence. Like, he started really, really hot in that Miami game, throwing with anticipation, moving around in the pocket, and looked absolutely the part of a high-level quarterback. And he did that for most of the year. And then at a certain point, I think teams sort of realized that Young probably holds the ball a little longer than he should. He's a little too comfortable in the pocket. And he doesn't always necessarily throw with anticipation if he doesn't have a guy wide open. I mean, you almost start to wonder if he's a little too spoiled coming out of Mater Dei in California, which is a kind of the quarterback factory. All the great USC guys came out of that same place. Or if maybe, you know, the offensive line and whatnot at Alabama had given him too much comfort level. But he hasn't trusted himself to throw hot reads, or maybe O'Brien hasn't put him in, whatever. They just haven't gotten the ball out. And so Tennessee, and then especially LSU, came in Alabama. They got a lot of cover zero looks, like straight man across the board, dare you to throw, dare you to just throw up on a single coverage downfield. And one, Alabama, except for the one touchdown pass, I don't know that they ever got the ball downfield that game. Like, and when I mean got, I don't mean completed a pass. I meant threw it. Like, it just didn't come out. And nor were they hitting hot reads when they had large cushions in the seams. And so if you're Odom, I have to think you look at those games and the takeaway is, I don't want to sit back and give time for Young to, you know, scramble around, find a guy, and then toss it, because he's got great arm strength and he's really, really efficient in the short to intermediate game with time. It seems really clear you got to treat him like a first-year starter. You need to blitz him. You need to spin up the clock. And I think to some degree, maybe even there's a height issue, that if you can keep him in the pocket with pressure, he may have a hard time finding passing windows or seeing guys open downfield, and then the ball just doesn't come out, and then you end up with what was the LSU result. So it is interesting to me, because I think the style of offense that Arkansas wants to run, which does have a lot of pressure, but it's zone pressure stuff, maybe isn't the best fit, because zone pressures really kind of limit how many guys you can bring. If you want to bring more, you kind of have to use a lot of man concepts just to be able to be sound in coverage. And I don't know how well or how much Arkansas is going to be able to do that, because I think in past years they haven't evolved the defense, or they haven't had that many wrinkles. They're really, really good. They're really sound. That's why they start the year hot. But it feels like they don't really want to adjust over the course of the year. And I think when teams identify it and they get used to it, high-level offenses that are comfortable can be very effective against zone coverage. So I think that's kind of, to me, it's a big story going into this game.
I think that Alabama fans can appreciate this sort of example. 2016, Jalen Hurts sort of putting up a ton of points. I think they scored 50-something against USC in the opener. Had a lot of momentum. Then they played LSU, and they beat him 10-0. I think 7 of that came on a broken play scramble from Jalen Hurts. They were running a slot corner blitz all night long, and he never adjusted. He never adjusted with a pre-snap read, a hot read, anything like that. The offense just really couldn't do anything, and it was a lot of three and out, three and out, three and out. They ended up scoring 30-something points in the national championship game. So there was this, you know, struggle that was identified late in the season, and teams jumped on it, but they were still able to kind of survive. So I think that what we will see Saturday is either an offense that can make post-game adjustments in the weeks of playing a directional school, in the weeks of practice, can make adjustments and put a plan together and take advantage of the skill sets they have, or we're going to see against Arkansas that Arkansas's defense is able to shut them down, which I think is a distinct possibility at this point, especially with a makeshift offensive line. And then from that, there's going to be these concerns that I think will not disappear until next year. Okay, Josh, we got to talk about Arkansas a little bit before we get in the model. And I think that there's this notion that Arkansas, people kind of forgot about them. There was a lot of hype after the Texas win and then the Texas A&M win. And then they lost, and there was this, you know, probably should have won Ole Miss game that was just back and forth wildness. I don't think people appreciate the quality of Arkansas this year. I'm excited to see that they're ranked because I think they deserve to be ranked. But talk about, maybe these Alabama fans haven't seen Arkansas play enough. Talk about some things that Arkansas's done really well this year and where they could give Alabama some trouble beyond what we discussed with the offensive concerns.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that Arkansas has a pretty dynamic, balanced offensive attack to go with their defense. Like in terms of FEI, so efficiency offense, 16th in the country. And I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I'd have to think outside Ole Miss, who was sixth, that's got to be the second best team they've played. Yeah, Tennessee is 21st. So overall, highly efficient offense. They've got a good running game paired with a good passing game. And I think the concern for Alabama is that this is also an offense that's really modernized quite a bit. I mean, they're running that Browse system. It is an RPO-based system. They've got a dual-threat mobile quarterback that kind of limits the ability to blitz him because he has the ability to really burn you if he leaves the pocket. That's difficult for a man coverage team like Alabama is and how you handle him, because you can't have your corners with his back to him and then let him outside the pocket. He's likely to get large yardage. And so when you put all those pieces together, it's a dangerous offense. And I think it's an offense that, you know, Browse has always been pretty willing to take his shots. So if Alabama busts, which they've been prone to do off and on all year, Arkansas is likely to take their shots and take advantage. And I think there is still some historical, like, stigma with Arkansas as this sort of backwards run-first team. Bielema years, even back to Houston Nutt. And I think Sam Pittman is this, you know, offensive line coach personality sort of gives them this look of being a big physical slow team. But the truth is, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they're just not. I mean, they are absolutely a modern offense that tries to run tempo. Now they try to be big and physical, but to any extent that they're not a high flying passing offense, it's really just due to personnel limitations at this point. And otherwise are good. And I'll note, it's been pretty telling in with their team how they're going to do based basically on how well Treylon Burks does. I mean, 10 yards against Georgia, 16 yards against LSU, and those are the two games they don't put up much points. But when they can get their guys the ball, and they can get him, especially like 60, 80, even in one game, you know, 167 yards passing against A&M, then that offense can really get moving. So I think that's maybe the biggest thing that's undervalued is legitimate top 20 offense nationally.
I think that I think that the one thing that they do bring to this game that is one of those, we talk numbers so much. We don't talk a lot about momentum or want to or whatever, but I do think there's an opportunity here for Alabama fans. They need to realize that Arkansas is going to come in with that momentum, and they're not going to be, they've had enough big wins this year that they're not going to be scared of Alabama, where maybe in the past Arkansas has given Alabama a little bit of a game or a fight for a while, but at some point realize they're playing Alabama. And I think this year, it's a little different because they've beaten a team that beat Alabama. They beat the crap out of Texas when Texas still had something to play for. So that's another thing I think that's in their favor. And when you combine the lack of fear with the nothing to lose, because they really don't have much to lose, not that they're having a bad season, but they don't have anything to lose at this point. That's a dangerous situation for Alabama. So I think I say all that to say that if Alabama can win this game, they're probably not going to get as much credit for it as they should. Kind of like we said with Ohio State and Purdue last week, that Ohio State's going to win this pretty comfortably, and they're not going to get the credit they should for that game. If Alabama can win this game, I don't think they're going to get the credit they should, and I think they should expect and appreciate that they're getting a really game-capable team in Arkansas. But what does the model think? Because it might disagree with kind of how we see Arkansas and Alabama at this point.
Yeah, and trigger warning for Arkansas fans. This is our model. We run it the same way we do every other thing. It doesn't like Arkansas in this game. I mean, it had Arkansas competitive or maybe even winning against Georgia. It flagged that Arkansas had a very good chance to beat Texas. I think it also flagged that the Texas A&M game could go in Arkansas's favor. Not here. And the problem really has to do with where Arkansas' strengths lie and where Alabama's strengths lie, and how they've developed over the course of the season. Alabama, their pass defensive numbers at 91% of opponent averages are not spectacular. In fact, those are just merely above average. I think that's a little deceptive. We don't do a ton of culling of garbage data. People talk about taking out garbage time. It's a variable definition. Our model doesn't really take it out too much. And also, they've given up a lot of chunk plays in certain games. Not that much of an excuse, but 91% versus 93%, about the same level of pass defense between Alabama and Arkansas. It's the run defense that's almost staggeringly different. 70% versus 94% is a chasm. 94% is perfectly average. It's a perfectly average run defense from Arkansas. I would even go so far as to say mediocre. You want to see that number below 90% if you're an SEC team, because you've got your cupcake games in, and that sort of inflates your stats a little bit. So you're giving up more often than not above an opponent's average running. Whereas Alabama is, that rush defense number has continued to drop. And in truth, they're probably operating more like a 60-65% rush defense. They have become very, very good against the run. Probably a lot of that is due to health of their front seven. LeBrian Ray has been huge. They've kind of discovered a guy in Mathis that's been really good for them. And then they had issues at outside linebacker due to injury that I think they've kind of stabilized. And they've become a sound group. And that is a problem for an Arkansas team that is almost 2-to-1 run to pass. 348 rushes to 191 passes in, you know, the first three quarters of a game where stuff matters. And so even though, you know, 7.5 yards per attempt projected for Arkansas is a reasonably good number, it's the 3.4 yards per carry that's pretty crucial. Because if Arkansas can't run the ball, they generally can't sustain drives. And so Alabama at 6.5 yards per play, Arkansas is only about 5. And Arkansas is a very efficiency-driven team. They need to stay on schedule. They need to move the sticks. And when they don't do those things, they consistently struggle to put up meaningful points in a game. Whereas Alabama in this one is pretty well expected to do what they want to do. And when they get up the kind of numbers that they're projected to have in this game, Alabama is typically put up about 40 points. So that's why the model thinks this is extremely lopsided. I mean, it has this a 40-7 game. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure that I disagree with it, looking at the two teams and the way they're matched up.
So here's where I'll disagree with it a little bit. Based on maybe not what the model sees in terms of ratios, because Arkansas could find some success passing the ball or whatever. What's interesting to me is both of Arkansas's numbers are bordering on pretty competent, and especially the passing number, 7.6 yards per attempt is pretty competent. 3.45 is not great. It's bordering on bad, but it's still not complete shutdown mode. So maybe offer, before I give my score, maybe offer a little more insight into, like, okay, 5 yards per play, which is not awesome, but still moving the ball, still considered in our mind, when we discuss a competent offensive performance, 5 yards per play is kind of right there. So why is it 5 yards per play in your mind and only 7 points? Like, I could get it if it was like 37 to 17, but like 5 yards per play and only 7 points, is Arkansas really inefficient in scoring, or is there something else at play?
I think it's an efficiency and scoring issue. Take the Texas A&M Arkansas game. Okay, the game's 20 to 10. KJ Jefferson was 14 yards per attempt. Traylon Smith was 4.8 yards per carry. Sanders was 4.5 yards per carry. And they get 20 points. They do a couple of it, really just two big plays. In general, Arkansas has had an issue this year, which is not necessarily uncommon from their system, where it's been pretty boom or bust. I've always been a little critical of the Bryles tree because it is pretty shot dependent and it can get points in bunches, but it doesn't really have a great ability to sustain drives with an intermediate passing game using pro concepts. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, the classic high-low read kind of stuff. It is a little shot based. And if they don't run the ball particularly well, and the other team can stay on top where you're not getting the shot opportunities, the offense does tend to fizzle out a little bit. And so you see a lot of games like, you know, the Auburn game was 5.2 yards per play. It was only 23 points. Again, A&M was 6.5 yards per play, only 20 points. LSU was a healthy 4.3 yards per play, 16 points. I agree with you. The model has the number a little lower than makes sense for me. I can't really dig into the numbers to figure out exactly why that's the case. I think A&M is probably a part of it. Obviously, Georgia, the shutout matters there. But I do think the total's a little low. I think reasonably, you should probably expect Arkansas to put up more like 14 or 17 points by the time it's over. But... you know, the key here really to me is that 40 number next to Alabama, because if Alabama puts up 40, whether Arkansas scores 7 or whether they score 17 is a little academic in reality, right? Because the game is not particularly competitive. And I think it's just the fact that they're in totally different stratosphere, so to speak, in scoring. That's the concerning thing if you're Arkansas, and that's maybe the thing that's almost most surprising when I look at this model.
All right, I'm ready to give my score. I think that what's interesting about this is I would have given Arkansas far more better chance if they played Alabama in week 3 when Alabama played Florida. I think Arkansas could have made that a game. They had a different kind of, you know, lack of tape on them in a way that would have benefited them, and enough tape on Alabama in a way that might have benefited them, because I do respect Barry Odom a lot. And I think he would have seen some things on tape that maybe LSU saw, and he would have been willing to throw the book at Bryce Young and given him a lot of trouble. I think the problem for Arkansas is they are catching Alabama, not just the week after LSU, where that weakness was exposed, giving them time to maybe sew it up a little bit, but also getting a week against a directional tune-up game before Arkansas to work out some of those kinks. Now, we did see in that game some things that concerned us, and I said this in the live show. Bryce Young started out like 14 of 14, but a few of those bombs to Williamson and a few of the other throws he made in that game, he did not throw them open. Like, they were open for a long time, and the ball was late to them, and they were so open that they were able to still make a catch. I think some of that scales back a little bit, but I still think there's enough there for them to score some points. Give me Alabama 37, Arkansas 17. And I think that we will see Alabama come with a little more efficiency that gives them a little more confidence in their offensive line and their quarterback heading into the Iron Bowl week.
I've got this game 41-17, personally. I do think Arkansas scores a little bit more. Look, I think they could struggle, and it wouldn't shock me if they score even less. They didn't move the ball well at all versus LSU. They got sort of their one touchdown off a busted coverage where KJ Jefferson had to make a hero play. But here's the thing. LSU held Arkansas to their second lowest yard per attempt total of the year behind only Georgia, and it was only a tenth of a yard better than Georgia. And I think there's an interesting point here for both teams. LSU, I think, is just kind of all of a sudden playing motivated, better football. I think they just figured some crap out over the bye week, and they adjusted the way they're playing defense. They got a lot more aggressive, and they're just way more effective. And Arkansas, LSU fans, especially given that they lost that game, playing a true freshman, true freshman against a zone pressure defense is usually a really bad idea in its first start. They did it willingly. And I think they lost a game maybe they could have easily won, and maybe even if Max Johnson's the starter. But I don't take that much bad from either the Arkansas or the Alabama performances against LSU, because I think they're just playing much, much higher level football on the defensive side of the ball. My issue is Arkansas pass defense in particular has gotten lit up. Over 13 yards per attempt against Ole Miss, over 11 yards per attempt against Auburn. Even Mississippi State was almost 9 yards per attempt. There are signs that you can really expose Arkansas if you get them isolated in coverage. And my big thing with them, Catalan was a fantastic player. And when he went down, that defense just has not been the same. And they've gotten banged up a little bit in general, but to me that was kind of the crucial injury for the whole team. And I do think Alabama gets theirs, and I agree with you. I think Alabama and that in that week probably had an opportunity for Bryce Young to get his confidence back. I think they have an opportunity to play at a higher level. Arkansas is coming off a very, very challenging game that they won, but they won in brutal, long fashion. So I think this one ends up getting away from Arkansas. I don't think it's a bad thing for Arkansas. I think it's a tough matchup. I think Alabama is probably going to start to peak. And I'm with you. Even if the score is 41-17, the biggest one for me is Alabama able to win this game because they rely on the run game and they get a couple deep shots? Or is Alabama able to finally take the next step they need to make where Bryce Young is throwing with anticipation and they're hitting hot reads and there is more consistency in that offense where they've got a problem where they've been very herky-jerky. They've had a ton of three and outs over the course of the year. Does that go away? Does this become an offense that can consistently move the ball forward? Because if they want to reach their end goals, that absolutely needs to happen and needs to happen fast. Because you can't be facing a Georgia, or much less if they even make the playoffs, at someone like an Ohio State, and have the like quarter and a half of cold play that they've been having on the offensive side of the football.
And Josh, we touched on this in a live show, but real quick, I want you to touch on it again. We are running late, so real quick. I said on the live show that Alabama might put up some points against Arkansas and Auburn. And because of how Alabama fans just cannot stand Pete Golding, there is a real chance, and even nationally, I think there's a real chance that we overreact to how good we think Alabama's offense is and underreact to how good Alabama's defense actually is. Talk about that for a second before we close it out.
Look, if you look at the teams Alabama's played, you look at like Florida, you look at Ole Miss, Miami, there are a lot of teams there that are actually pretty good offenses through the year. I mean, Miami, other than the part where they had quarterback issues, been a pretty darn effective offense through the year. Florida, offensively, at the beginning of the year was very highly ranked. Ole Miss is obviously a very good offense, and Alabama was one of the few teams to actually catch them healthy. The one exception was the Texas A&M game where they gave up 41, but even there, one score is a kick return, and there are some other turnover-rated scores there, so the defense didn't really give up horrific yardage, and that was by far their worst game. On the flip side, they've played some bad defenses. A lot of these teams, like Florida's defense, has struggled off and on throughout the entire year. Southern Miss is atrocious. Miami's defense has been really suspect. Ole Miss is not good. Mississippi State's defense has been lit up in the passing game. Tennessee's defense is not good. I mean, you go all the way through, and a lot of these defenses were not great. So when you look at the fact that they really struggled at times at LSU and at Texas A&M, you know, maybe we're giving the offense too much credit due to the schedule they're facing, and we're not giving the defense nearly enough credit. And you know what? They started the year banged up defensively too. And when they've gotten their stuff together, they've been pretty good. I think Alabama is a much better defensive team in many ways, almost than they are an offensive team, which was the expectation. But they are a top 10 defensive unit in FEI. They're number 9. I think right now they're actually performing at a top 5 level nationally, maybe even higher than that, maybe top 3. I think the offense has almost fallen off a bit. Like they seem to have regressed. So I do agree with you. I think, you know, when you look at the schedule, you look at where they're at, they've had trouble scaling. They've had trouble with consistency on offense. They're still very, very good, but there are genuine kinks in that armor, which they showed up against LSU. But defensively, I think they're underrated. I mean, that the defensive unit is very, very good. And I think if they were to beat Georgia, it's not the offensive side of the ball that is going to let them beat Georgia. It's the thing that the model just flagged with the Arkansas game. Alabama's path to beating Georgia is the defense shutting people down. They're flashing the ability to do it. They did it against LSU. If they can do it against Arkansas, then I'm going to begin to wonder if this isn't a defense, as was expected to be the case, that is a championship-level defense and will carry Alabama forward. That's probably the most underrated storyline in the country right now.
And that's kind of what I was going to close on, is if Alabama wins in the playoffs, beats Georgia, makes the playoffs, I think there's a lot better chance that they win these games 27-24, 24-20, that sort of thing. And we talked about this on the live show too. Like we don't necessarily right now think Alabama's playing good enough to beat Georgia, but also we don't see Georgia score more than 24 or 27 points on Alabama, which means at that point it's anybody's game. So I hope Alabama fans don't get too frustrated with what we're saying about their offense, because we're saying something similar about Georgia, is we don't think your offense is amazing, but we also think it's good enough given that defense that it's a national championship caliber team and you can win with that offense. The only concern I have right now is those coverage busts or those communication busts that don't lead to a first down, they lead to a touchdown. Alabama, if they can figure that out, I agree with you. I think they got a national championship defense. All right, y'all, that's it for us. Give us your score prediction in the comments. Hit that like, subscribe, notification bell so you can see us next week and you can get notified Saturday night when we go live. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.